WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we are focusing on our Rutherford County Juvenile Court. Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us. Judge Davenport, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
And you brought a friend, didn't
you? I did. I have Miss Carrie Niederhauser with me this morning, and we're here to share some exciting news about a new court that we're being able to develop for our families in Rutherford County through the juvenile court.
Well, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And you're with the Department of Children's Services.
No, I am former Department of Children's Services.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to do this, put the cross there, okay. The X, the big X.
You are with the children's court, the youth court.
Yes, sir, I will be.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. And the reason you're with the juvenile court system is because the Safe Baby Court.
Absolutely.
Now, what is the Safe Baby Court?
So the Safe Baby Court is a specialized court program that we are starting for families who a lot of times are involved with drugs. When the babies are taken away, the children ages 0 to 3 is what we're going to focus on. But when they're taken away from their families, we feel like they need more specialized services, more specialized attention in court to help them either get back reunited with their families or come to permanence in a different solution.
Okay. And Rutherford County is one of the very few counties that has the Safe Baby Court.
The legislature passed a law about 2 years ago, and so the governor started 5 Safe Baby Courts throughout the state. And then just this year, he allowed for 7 more to start. And, of course, the goal is to have them across the state in a few years. And Rutherford County was picked as one of those new 7. So we hope to be up and running in another month. And it's still involving the Department of Children's Services, who remove children and babies, primarily babies 0 to 3. But if there are other children in the home, of course, those children are going to be wrapped around with services as well. This will allow, it's 100% grant money. There's no cost to the county. And Carrie is going to be what is designated as our court coordinator. And Carrie is going to make sure that we reach out and we're going to partner. Another reason I wanted to have the show today about this, if anybody's listening with churches or organizations, we want to partner and bring the community into this. A little bit different than just straight dependent neglect abuse child case. Because we're going to focus more on the traumas that our babies and our children are facing with those removals and what their chaos they've lived in their home, as well as we're going to focus and give more special attention to the parents, because DCS can only do what they can do. They are allowed by law, if we take a child away, the parent is only allowed 4 hours a month for visitation. That's the statutory requirement. Now, if we can work it out, they can get more. But with the new program, our goal is even, hopefully, if our mothers are able to nurse, if it's not a safety issue, and they're going to be able to visit more. And Carrie's going to be one that arranges that and supervises that. And we're going to have court at least right now a few hours once a week till we get going. And our goal is to have at least 20 families in our court, and it can be those children that are in jeopardy of being taken into state custody and those that are removed. So that same procedure will continue, that we still remove those children. But this court, being specialized and having extra funds, will be one that just will wrap more services. And we the other counties from the other judges, they are loving it, and they're seeing such results. And they're seeing them across the nation, that we are able to give those parents what they need one-on-one. They really need to have their hands held. And DCS can't do that, and that's Carrie's role.
For us to get a better grasp on what actually Safe Baby Court is, without giving us a specific case, sort of walk us through a traditional case, how you get the case, what the case may involve, and what makes the Safe Baby Court different from the regular juvenile courts.
Okay. So we're still going to get the same cases from the Department of Children's Services. We feel like the most situations that we will be involved with are the drug-exposed children. So DCS will contact me shortly after they either place a child into state's custody or place a child with a family member or friend due to safety reasons. Once they contact me, then we'll do an assessment and make sure that they are a right fit for the court, and then I will present that to the judge, hopefully at that either 72-hour hearing that we have, if it's a state's custody situation, or at the hearing that we would have if they are placed with a relative. And that way we can get started in the beginning. We don't have to play catch up, and we give these families more services. We are partnering with the community so that not only myself and the court and DCS can help, but we can set these families up for future success so they know how to reach out if they have a problem after we're gone.
Now, for them to be a right fit, does that mean that part of their family has to be made up of a child who's birthed to age 3?
Yes.
Okay, and then they could have other children, other ages.
Right.
But that's the ingredient that is needed for the Safe Baby Court.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and what other services? You mentioned that there are several other services. What other kinds of services? The reason I'm mentioning this, there may be somebody listening who's thinking, I have a grandchild that needs this service, and I'm worried about the environment in which they're growing up in. And do you get people who call you who are concerned?
Well, they usually don't call us, but they do call that 800 DCS number if they want to make, we call those a referral, if they have a concern about children being abandoned or abused or neglected. Okay. From the actions of their parents.
Right.
These are not
right.
Actions of the children, but actions of their parents.
And at that point, DCS steps in, and that's where the juvenile court comes in.
Usually if DCS gets a referral, they'll do their best to try. They'll always assess the situation. And if they find that there is a safety issue of some type for the child, they will sit down with parents, if there's two parents, and try to, at the round table discussion, or is there somebody else that we could place the child with? Will we get you help for whatever your issue? And majority of our issues sometimes are the drug use. Or just residential instability. And then from that, the state may not take the child into custody, but the parent has to work a plan. And this program, they'd still qualify to come into this court to get that one-on-one attention. And we're not going to have court in the Juvenile Justice Center, that we're taking all the trappings away, and it's more of an informal, very informal proceeding, where we do concentrate more on, let's really see, why are you using? Why can't you keep a residence? Why can't you keep it clean? And there again, that's where Carrie comes in to help. Because DCS is required to do that. But with this court, the difference is that they will have that one-on-one more. And we think, well, and it's proven in the other courts, if we have just one person, that's what they're dedicated with, a smaller caseload. And they know here, and they're not with DCS, because sometimes that's a rub for our parents. You took my child, and now you're telling me what to do. And I think that's part of the success of this court. And, of course, I don't get involved except for the hearings and the meetings and reviews and type things. But I think that, do you agree with that, Karen?
Right. I'm going to be more of a neutral party. So I'm not going to be against the family like they feel sometimes that DCS is because they did take their child. So I'm more of a, let's get this going, let's get these things started, and just kind of keeping things on track, encouraging the family, encouraging, you know, other members of the community to help, encouraging DCS members to do what they need to do, encouraging, you know, just everyone along in the whole process.
Now, when you come up to a parent who has been on drugs or just is homeless, doesn't have a job, a million of excuses, I guess you could say, as to why their family is dysfunctional, and you try to help them, do they realize that they're having a problem? Do they realize maybe that it's their issue that's creating this problem?
I think a lot of times initially they don't. They don't feel like there's a problem going on. But the, one of the goals of the Safe Baby Court program, too, is to get to the bottom of why we're doing this. A lot of times if you just say, just go to drug treatment, we feel like that's not enough to really get to the root of the situation of what caused the family to go down this path. So the goal, one of the goals of Safe Baby Court is getting to the bottom of that with the families, asking what happened to them to cause them to go down and make these choices.
Now, is there something that has teeth in it that can force them to go through certain programs to learn how to be a better parent?
I would think having your child out of your care and control would be enough.
Taking the child away.
Right. And most of these, they'll either be with a third party, relative or friend, by agreement, or they will be physically, by court order, in the care and custody of the department, in a foster home that they place the children in. And I think that's the biggest carrot is for them to be able to function. And we're focusing more on the ACEs, if that's adverse childhood experiences that we all have, and people don't realize that something that happened to us when we were even as young as 3, 4, or 5, that you may not even remember and push back. Those ACEs, we're studying that more, and for our children as well. But we're going to focus a lot in getting some mental health address for our parents. Like Carrie said, why there had to be a reason why we started using. It made us feel good for some reason because we were suffering a pain from something else. It might not be a physical injury, but some type of escape mechanism usually. And what happened? Well, let's get you. Let's just don't send you and order you to do A, B, C, and D. Let's peel, I always say this, let's peel back those layers. And let's sit down with you one-on-one because Carrie is neutral. And Carrie was with the department for ten years and is very qualified. That's why she has this position. She knows the community. She knows her job. And she knows how to handle these parents. And I think we're going to see. Now, it's not a short term. And again, here's the kicker for the court. It's got to be voluntary.
This has to be a voluntary action by everybody, then?
By the parents.
By the parents, okay.
And we're hoping that once that, because I spoke last week at our yearly law CLE and asked for the attorneys to really give this a lot of thought, because within a year, is what we're hearing from most of the baby courts, a year to a year and a half, they're usually getting their children back if they have been intensely working this program. We're on our average cases at 18 months, we're starting a termination proceeding, and they're going to forever lose their child.
This puts the child up for
adoption. Yeah, and they will never have anything to do with their children again. And because the state makes them work a plan of care to address their issues, and this is just another way to help them and stay in touch, because a lot of my parents disappear. And they do because they're using drugs, they're here, they're there, for different reasons. And this just wraps them more solid, where we can keep them closer to know what they need to do and to reach out. And DCS is busy. And I hear, well, I called them 5 times, they never call me back. Well, they're not going to call you back at 10 at night or at midnight you know, when you're high and you decide you won't talk to them. And Carrie's not going to do that either, but Carrie will be more accessible to meet their needs. And I think that's part of the beauty right. of the court.
Judge Davenport, let me ask you this, because you have faced so many things over the years. How many years is this?
Almost 21, 19
so
elected.
That's a lot of experience. And you have had people before who've had their children taken away and then put up for adoption. They lost their child. Do they ever come back to you and say, I really did wrong? What can I do?
You know, on the ones that we remove their children, I don't really think I have that many that reach out to me. I have the children reach out to me and say, you saved my life. And I fought you because I wanted to stay with my mommy. But thank you for saving my life. And they'll tell me they're married and have their own children and they're functional and they're doing so well in that arena. And then what I really have is I have the families who have adopted, if I run into them. And they go, oh, are you Judge Scott? And I always say, that depends. Are you going to shoot me or hug me? And they'll say, you were the judge that terminated so we could adopt these children. And they're here. Can you? And if it, the case is way over and it's totally past appeal, then yes, I want to see them. I want to hug them. So that's always good. So we know we're going to get some permanency for them. It's either return them to a healthy family
right.
or find them a forever permanent healthy home.
Now, how long do the parents have to make their decision? You said this is a voluntary effort.
Well, Carrie may be able to address what she's heard in training. They asked me like a week before training, can you go to Chicago next week? And I said,
oh, by the way.
No. So I've just had a few hours of training locally, but we're going to have some more. So Carrie, is that something that you
it's
might could add?
Anything that we've addressed specifically, I think that's something that we will decide as we go along. Of course, we want to get families in super quickly so that we can get those services started as quickly as we can. So I think that's just something we'll have to decide.
So we have a great budget that will help with some transportation. And there again, if anybody, the Rover has always been good to DCS. I'm hoping that they'll join in with this. We need partners. You know, we need those bus passes and those type things. But they'll be able, because that's part of their problem is why I don't have I can't come in for a drug screen. I can't come in I can't get a job because I don't have transportation, or I can't come here, I can't go there. And with, especially starting out with just a few cases, I think, now normally if a case takes 18 months, if the children have been in custody with the department, they have to start a termination proceeding. They have
that
to. They're mandated. They're mandated by law. They have to start that proceeding and file that termination at 18 months. And then normally to get that scheduled and get a court hearing, we're probably looking at another 8 to 10 months to get that set and heard. Then there's the appeal process for our children to have permanency by adoption, because they haven't worked the plan. They wouldn't file it, because at 18 months, if we've done the plan, those children probably have gone back home safely. And we think that ours will be shorter. We're hoping a year. We're hoping a year. That, because if we've got drug issues, that's not a 30-day, it's not a 60-day fix. It's long-term, and it's a disease, and you've got to learn after you've been sober for 30, 60, 90 days that you've got to maintain it. You've got to maintain. And we're hoping that we'll be able, again, with partners in the community. And we've got so many that deal with our adults that have drug issues that we hope that they're going to be able to help us say, we've got this program or that program. And that's another reason. Carrie has her pulse on all that. She knows a lot of the contacts. But we also, if anybody's listening, we'll give you a contact email or number. Can we do that, Miss Carrie? Throw you out there.
They can have my email okay. address. It's not official yet, okay. but they can have my personal one.
Yep, go ahead and get
okay.
it.
Okay. It's my name, Carrie Niederhauser at yahoo.com, and I will spell that because it's quite difficult. It's CarrieNiederhauser at yahoo.com.
Tell you what, let's do. Let's pause and check on the traffic and weather. We will be back and continue the conversation. I'll bet you there's a person listening right now who has some questions about this. Maybe it's involving your grandchild or your child. Maybe it's a neighbor that you're concerned about. Give us a call. We're not going to ask you any personal questions, not going to identify you, but you can get some good, useful information. We'll be right back.
The Wake Up Crew, weekday mornings, 6 to 7:50.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Here at Animal City, we can help you enjoy the therapeutic effects of your beautiful aquarium, whether at the home or at your office. Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Here at Animal City, we have everything that you need to spruce up your old tank or set up a beautiful new one. We have the supplies and expertise to help you be successful whether you want to do freshwater or saltwater. Come see us at Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
One of our biggest items on the menu has always been our soup at Demas's. The problem that we have had is that people have to wait in long lines when you're not feeling really good to get a soup. So we have created something that we call Soup Express. And it's different kiosks that we have with a separate line to be able to pick up soup, pay for it with a credit card, and take it home right away. The Soup Express is only for our quarts of soup or above, and with no other types of food. Nothing else is just when you want soup, and that's why we call it Soup Express. It's only at Demas's restaurants.
Good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic volume out here, but it is moving. 24 westbound here at Walden Road. Sam Ridley Parkway's got a lot of traffic down towards the interstate. Traffic still busy right now. Inbound 41, Murfreesboro Pike. A lot of folks are still using that route. Hey, Smashville Moving Company is Middle Tennessee's new moving company. Check them out at smashvillemovingcompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Skies will become mostly sunny this afternoon with a high in the low 60s. North winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low near 37. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 43.
Experience real hometown banking. I'm Shelley Rigsby, manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We've made banking easy for you with our great customer experience. And you will also have 24/7 access with our online and mobile banking. So whether you want the in-person experience or banking on the go, come see us at the Bank Murfreesboro Calls First. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're broadcasting from the Billups Center Studio, medicine that matters to men. Online at thebillupscenter.com. And we're talking today about the Safe Baby Court. Rutherford County now has one. We now officially have the funding for one. Sounds like we're working to put it together.
Right, we are. Now. We've got to get the finalization of the contract signed, which I've got to do. And we had an option with this, with the money coming from mental health and from, I believe, DCS, yes, both from the state, is that you could run it through your county or you could run it through a nonprofit. And we've chosen to run it through a nonprofit. And then they will be doing all of that. And that's where Tanya Hobbs comes in. She's going to be my coordinator on that, and we're going to run it through the Kamari House, which is a supervising agency. She used to manage that facility. She's gone back to full-time teaching at the university and social work. But that's, you had an option, and that was the option that I chose. I just thought it would be cleaner that way, just run it through. A lot of courts do that. They just run it through a nonprofit.
Now, one thing that we were talking about during the last break is that you're going to be needing some people to teach skills to these parents, skills like finances, how to do finances, how to do this, how to do that. What areas are you looking for? Because there's probably somebody listening who has a strong background, might have a Ph.D. in accounting or something of that sort, the ability to teach. What do you need?
So we are thinking outside the box for this program. We want people to think all these life skills that we hope you would develop growing up. Sometimes families that we work with did not get that experience. So budgeting, parenting, thinking, you know, if you could teach a class on how to do a household budget, or if you could teach a class on how to clean your house, how to keep a schedule, things like that.
How to cook.
Right. Yeah, just basic life skills that we take for granted because maybe our mom taught us, or grandma or someone, or we took that class in high school. A lot of times the families we work with don't get much experience in high school. They don't go. They drop out. So we are looking for outside the box. We're looking for people that are willing to work with these parents to develop those skills so that they can be successful parents themselves.
And feel good about themselves. I say this every month. We want our children and we want our parents to achieve. We want that for them. And they have been beat down their whole lives pretty much.
Yes.
And then they're passing that along to their children. And, of course, we want to stop that. And they need to see that they, again, they have value. And they have worth. And at the break, Carrie mentioned maybe they have a car that doesn't work. Maybe somebody could donate a few hours to help repair the car, or donate a part or something like that. Again, to give them satisfaction that they can achieve something. Because the majority of them are so just
beaten down.
Oh, they're so beaten down. Absolutely.
Are you finding that with all of your cases, are you finding that perhaps their parents, and then their parents, and the parents before them
Oh, I can tell you that for a fact. I've been there long enough that I have removed children from the children that I removed because of 20-something years.
So they've just had no one to show them how to do things.
Correct. And then they messed up, and they took that. The child themselves then took a bad path and got into a lot of trouble, and then they repeated the same, you know, pattern of parenting and having a lot of children and not being able to really provide or care for them.
So this could be the program that turns it around.
That's what we're hoping. So. And that's what the statistics has shown. And we're talking about how long, and Carrie shared with me that she just read a statistic.
So this is a national initiative. It's a 0-3 initiative. So this program is being implemented across the country. And the research that is coming in now is showing that this is actually shortening the time it takes for parents to get their children back. The average research right now is showing that it's 10 months, a 10-month program to get your children back. And I think it's because we are constantly reinforcing these parents that they can do this. They're having small successes along the way, showing them, you know, giving them more visitation. They're seeing their kids more. They're happy about that versus saying, go to drug treatment. Oh, you can't see your kids still, or go do this and you still can't see your kids. You know, we are giving them more and more opportunity to show them that they can be successful.
Very good. Here's a text we just got in from a person who is in the process of trying to adopt a child through this system, through the court system. And they're saying, if these children are needing a new start in life, how come it costs so much to adopt a child? It says they're looking at $30,000+.
I guess that's to retain an attorney maybe for the adoption process, because juvenile court cannot do adoptions. We don't have that authority. And so I don't know. I don't think the filing fee is anything, but maybe they're talking about the process of hiring a private attorney. And I would call around. I believe that there's some other well-versed attorneys that probably do a little bit less than that. Depends on what stage you're in, and if you're trying to terminate parental rights as well as then do the adoption phase. That's very difficult. That's a difficult step. But if the children have already had their parents' rights terminated and they're ready for adoption, I don't know. I never did an adoption when I practiced. I don't know. But I would think that that would be the price. And attorneys are expensive. They are expensive. And you do need an attorney to do an adoption, unless the state is the child's in state custody.
That's what I was going to say. There's different ways to adopt children, and I think some are more expensive than others. I think fostering children through the state or other agencies may alleviate some of those costs. Don't quote me as far as that being a fact, but I believe that that may be a different route to go in to alleviate some of those costs.
Okay, so if there is a desire, there's a child out there who needs you.
Oh, yes.
There's always the children. And there are just different agencies other than DCS that offer adoption.
Right.
There's many agencies. And I don't know how they assist the parent financially. I don't know if they do or they take some money to do that. I don't know. I've never answered that. I hope that helps her with that question.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. When do you think, in looking at the other programs that have been successful and are already going in Tennessee, when do you feel like ours will be fully operational?
I can't say. I mean, I would hope in the next couple of months we will be up and running.
We hope to be able to, the first thing is to sign the contract, and I think that we're in the final stage to do that. It's been reviewed by one attorney. Now it's waiting for another attorney to review it, and we've been in negotiations for months, the judges, I'd say we, with the contract process, because there was a lot of things we as the judges in these new courts and the existing courts wanted to modify a little bit. So that's taken some time, because the money was there for July 1st. So we will be able to, they'll be able to deposit the money, and we'll be able to start acting. But then we have to get with the Department of Children's Services, which they're already on board, but we got to make that connection to say, okay, we're ready, we're up. When you start removing children or placing with the third party, 0 to 3 has to be our trigger to pretty much start this. Then let's see if that child is a candidate, that baby is going to be a candidate for the court. And they usually all have siblings.
Right. Oh, yes.
They all have siblings.
Yes.
So they're all coming in. Yes. It's just 0 to 3 because we want to be able to have that parent or parents bond with that baby.
And you mentioned the main focus is on safety for the baby. Will these classes, will these get-togethers all be in the juvenile court center, but in a room that you mentioned you didn't want it to look like a court?
No, we're not even having it in the building.
Not even in the building?
Not even in the building. And there'll be no trappings. I won't wear my robe. We don't. I will have to double check to see if we need to record, because we're a court of record. And that just came to me. I need to check in the contract to see if we still record or not. And we'll manage that if we have to. But no, we're off-site, again, where they don't feel so intimidated. It's intimidating. I'll admit it, to come into court. It's intimidating for anybody. And we want to take all that stigma away and say, really,
we're on your side.
We're on your side. You know, now, we've got to enforce the law. It all have to rule by the law. But this is just going to be so different, where they don't feel that because they feel like everybody's ganging up on them. Everybody is ganging up on them, and I think that's part of the difference.
So do you have a place to have these? I mean, you have a lot of criteria. You have to be near a Rover line because that's your transportation. It doesn't need to look like a government building or a police department or something like that. It needs to be generic safe building.
It does. We've had one offer there again. If anybody's listening, he wants to offer an office space. And
how much space do you need?
Well, I think we've got Carrie situated at the Kamari House, mm-hmm. but maybe, you know, just a room that where we, they could come in and just one, a couple, to start with just a couple hours a week when we get started to have the court. And I don't know, the meetings are all going to be probably where you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, I have a car. I can drive around to different locations.
She'll go to, that's another thing. She'll go to them and say, saying you got to go to DCS office on Jayhawk. You got to come to the juvenile system. Those are your two options. And you're, or you meet at McDonald's. That we're more flexible because and, we have to be for them to make
and
this
And we feel
work.
Like a lot of services are concentrated in Murfreesboro, but this is a Rutherford County court. So we'll be meeting in Smyrna and Laverne and Eagleville. We'll meet where we need to meet. It's not, like she said, condensed to just one location.
Now, if it is a homeless family and they're living out of their car, which I guess that happens too.
Absolutely.
What do you do in that situation?
Well, we're hoping to be able to try to find them some housing.
Yes.
And again, some funding and some flex funding still from the department through the normal means, because that's always been there. You know, they've got, they, we've always tried, the department has always tried to help those that have don't have housing to go ahead and say there's funds, let me apply for funds to pay your first month's rent, maybe to check with your utilities, get those cut on. And there's steps the other side has to do, but there's funding for that. There always has been.
Okay, but this is the focus of 0 to 3, and then they will continue to grow. You'll have some more stories in the future.
I told my college graduation. I said, I need me some loving during the day instead of all the hard stuff. Yeah, I need me some baby loving. So, and I think that I will. I'll also get to hold the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hand the child off to a parent. And I'm really excited about that as well. I don't ever meet the children. Every 6 months, I'm required to lay eyes on a child that's in state custody. And I don't, myself, the docket doesn't allow much for me to do that anymore and give them little trinkets. And we have a lot of stuffed animals and things people donate. So, I'm ready for at least if it's just 2 hours a month to have that positive and to praise them and be able to praise them instead of saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do it, and be able to be there. Also, on their side, encouraging, but also, if you don't, then we're going to go back, you know, and still have that tone and that firmness that I can get, but at the same time, I'm always very proud of people and my children when they do well.
We hear about community policing where the police are involved in something positive in the community. This is community courts.
I haven't looked at it that way. It really is, Bart.
I mean, you're showing them, hey, we're not against you. We're part of you.
Right.
We want to make it
better. If we had to have court in Laverne, we can do that because it's not going to be like every day. You know, it's hopefully probably only going to be...
It's going to be a short process.
It's going to be very short because that's the program. The court isn't the thing. The services are the thing. But we still have to have the oversight of the court. And I have to do reviews and that type thing. So, yeah, and we can go to Laverne. We can go to Smyrna. And I'm sure that some of those agencies in that part of town or Eagleville would open up a community center, a church, or even the police department might find us a place to be. We're not worried. We think that the doors are going to open for us.
I tell you, but you're going to be bringing families together, families that did not have hope. Now they're suddenly going to have hope, just phenomenal things happening. And this has been working very well in other areas.
Yes.
Yeah, 5 other counties, and they are just raving about it. Those judges, when we were in conference, they won't stop talking about it, how much it's really helping to reunify families safely and healthy, have the parents finally be healthy.
We're talking about the Safe Baby Court. Soon in Rutherford County, it's all been approved, just a matter of physically putting it together. We'll be right back.
There are places where people talk, and then there are places that people talk about. News Radio WGNS is both on air, online, and on the phone.
This is Ron Hall with Farrah Construction. We at Farrah Construction also offer a 24-hour emergency service. Whether your shingles are blown off your roof, you have a tree on your roof, or if you have your whole house flooded, we offer a 24-hour emergency service. We can also help with any frozen pipes. We're family here at Farrah Construction. We care about you.
Give us a call at 615-893-6120. That's Farrah Construction Company.
Making decisions are hard. Having an opportunity to try things out first makes them a lot easier. This is Sue Hall with the Villages of Murfreesboro. Come try out our Village experience. Some of the reasons you would want to come to the Villages would be to never have to wait for a table at a restaurant, bingo, Bible study, movies, musicians. Fun every day here at the Villages of Murfreesboro, 2550 Willow Oak Trail, just off the battlefield grounds and close to the hospital.
If only I could spend my whole paycheck on new tires.
Said no one ever. Which is why Bud's Tire Pros makes buying Michelin tires simpler. Allison Mitchell at Bud's Tire Pros says that they offer a straightforward approach to service, and they include a nationwide warranty with every purchase.
We're your one-stop shop for all your automotive needs, including alignments, oil changes, brake service, engine repair, and much more.
Stop by today to see their full lineup of Michelin tires. For whatever you drive, Michelin has a tire to fit any need. Tire Pros, hassle-free guaranteed. Visit BudsTireProsTN.com.
Skies will become mostly sunny this afternoon with a high in the low 60s. North winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low near 37. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 43.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Did you know we specialize in commercial and fleet business? We're equipped to handle all of your company's automotive needs. Download our Tire World app today for free oil changes and electronic coupons. Come by today for all of your automotive needs. Online at tireworld.us.
Edwin Lee Raymer here with you. Join us on Sunday evenings from 8 until 10 for the PI Show right here on WGNS, AM and FM.
Welcome back. We are talking about the Safe Baby Court. Yes, Rutherford County now has one and should be operational. We're physically putting it together right now. And this is not taking any taxpayer dollars or anything. It's all...
Not a penny. It's coming all state, and it's law. It's legislative, and the governor has appointed the courts. He started with the five, and then he's added seven more through, and Rutherford is the second. I think the other courts have been in operation maybe a year and a half or so, not too long.
Okay, that was Judge Donna Scott Davenport, the Rutherford County Juvenile Court judge with us, along with Carrie Niederhauser, and she's going to be putting this court together, coordinating it, and coordinating it under a nonprofit.
Correct.
You had two routes to go, and you chose... The nonprofit, right?
We did. After talking to a lot of the other judges, several of them did that, and they were very successful, and that's just what I chose to do.
All right. With just a matter of weeks or months away from the first activity, what do you think, what lies next? I guess, Carrie, this is in your court. What lies next for you?
So as soon as we get those contracts signed, we are hitting the ground running. We are locating our community partners. We are seeing who wants to help, getting the people involved that we know need to be involved so that we can get this started as soon as we can.
Okay.
You know, just listen to the commercials. Maybe they need a tire. Maybe they need an oil change.
Right.
You know, maybe the mother needs to get her hair done. Just little things to make them feel good. Those are the type of partnerships. It's not where you got to dedicate a lot of time and a lot of your resources in with your money. But there again, I think when we surround these parents with more people than just Carrie and the immediate court, that this community shows their love and what they want them to succeed with is phenomenal. You know, and we've had a few. I've had cases where we've had the children in custody for a long time. I had one where they were infested with insects, and somebody dedicated and came in and fixed that. There's different things. Like I mentioned, the Rover is really kind to us, and other agencies have been. But if you're out there and you can give just a little $5 or $10 something for these, even if it's something for McDonald's to help them get food for their visitation if they have older children. You know, a gift certificate and something
right.
like that.
And we're not asking for people to say, you know, I can do this all the time. I'm looking for a list that I can have, that I can call up and say, hey, this family needs, like she said, a haircut. Can you cut mom's hair? This lady needs, you know, her house to be have an exterminator. Can someone help me with that? And I can have 10 exterminators, hopefully, on my list that mm-hmm. I can, you know, maybe hit up once a year. So that's what we're looking for, to have that list so grand that we're not overwhelming the general public.
We're talking about building confidence exactly. in these people.
Right.
They've never done these things. They've been a generation to generation of doing it wrong, and they don't know the thrill of eating out or having their hair done or something of that sort.
They usually don't. Right. And they don't know how to love and parent their child the way it's traditional. You know, a lot of our children love us throwing them up against the wall. That's how Mama loves me. If she didn't throw me up against the wall once a week, she doesn't love me. If she didn't let me go hungry, she didn't love me. And sad, but that's the truth of it. And we want to take those barriers down, and we want to make it different. And of course, if anybody knows me that's listening, I will be as firm as I always have been with them, even in the other arena. But if we are really seeing progress, of course, we're going to be there to keep pushing them forward to continue.
We want to show them how to parent without us. That's why the community involvement, because eventually DCS is going to leave, the court's going to leave, and it's just going to be them and this baby or this child. What are they going to do when they don't have us? They're going to have all these connections out in the community. Well, I know I can call, you know, over here and say, get what I need, things like that.
Not free.
Right.
But be able to know where to go.
Right.
For whatever they need.
And you're saying a turnaround time is around 10 months.
10 months is what Carrie said. The national, national research is showing us.
That's great.
Yeah. So we'll plan on coming back this time next year with all these great success stories, okay?
Bring some of the people, and we won't identify them, but
if they agree, we might could. We might could.
You can't beat that story directly from their heart.
And I know we're going to have it. I just know, I just have a great feeling this is going to be very successful for our community.
Now get ready for some phone calls, because the people are thinking right now, and they're thinking, I want to help with this, I want to do that. Who should they call? Carrie?
They can't call me. Okay. That might be construed a little unethical, though I would, you know, if they call my office, we could reach out to Carrie, but they can't talk to me.
Okay. Right. Carrie, what is you mind giving your phone number, an office number or something?
I don't have an office number just yet. I can give my email out right now, and then once I get that office number, I will be glad to share it. My email again is carrienederhauser@yahoo.com. It's carrienederhauser@yahoo.com.
Okay, I tell you what we'll do. We will put that when we podcast this program, we will put your email on there.
Perfect.
carrienederhauser@yahoo.com.
And, Mark, what we can also can do when we're up and running, I'll send you a little blast about how we're progressing, where we're doing all that, and maybe you can be so kind as you did with the announcement on your web, your blast that you put out to update everybody.
Very good. Well, congratulations.
Excited.
Rutherford County is the one that's the winner on this.
Oh, absolutely.
Carrie, thank you for all that you do. Judge Davenport, we just can't thank you enough.
I love it. I want to continue to keep doing it. Let's go out and hug a child today.
Judge Donna Scott Davenport and Carrie Niederhauser, another first for Rutherford County. I tell you, what a great place. Truman's next, right here on your Good Neighbor Station. Let me in on, here's a secret. You don't have to tell Truman this, and I know he's not listening. Tomorrow is his birthday, so if you want to call and wish him a happy birthday, I think that would be neat.